went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined, but on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Verse 24 shares with us the ministry of God's servant Apollos. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And when he wished to cross over to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who through grace had become believers, and he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Messiah is Jesus. Please join with me in a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts to receive our message this morning. Lord God, we are thankful that your grace to us is always constant, and we are thankful that through prayer we can boldly approach your throne of grace. And it is through, Lord, the experience of sharing our faith that we hold to be true and dear, that other people might also hear, their hearts might turn, and they also can receive that same light, that Jesus is Lord, that we have come to believe and so proclaim and share. Give us the strength, we pray, Lord, to live in these days, to announce your coming kingdom, and to share in the witness and work that you call us not only as a body to share in together, but also as individuals, doing our part in those places that you have called us to serve. So, Lord, be with every person this morning. Might there be some fruit within this message for every person that is here. Might there be a burden that is lifted. Might there be an encouragement that is given or a smile brought to their face. But above all, gracious God, might we more deeply know you and your holy word. These things we ask in your name and for your sake. And all the people said, amen. I want to begin this morning a message on a series of sermons about the topic of evangelism that I'll be sharing with you all through the month of September, with the exception of next Sunday. I'm absent, but Dr. Mike Parker will be preaching in my absence, and upon my return, we'll continue with this series on evangelism. Well, prior to sharing the start of this series with you, we had two messages that went before on the topic of prayer. We consider how important having a place of prayer is. We were talking about reserving places in our home, places in our community where we could develop a prayer focus. We then went on to discover together how urgent prayer is and how we as followers of the Lord need to be persistent in our prayers. And all of those things are building blocks as we develop our understanding of sharing our faith, which commonly we call in the Church of Jesus Christ evangelism, which just comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means the sharing of the good news. Well, I want to share with you this morning a story about a lesson that I learned when I was in high school, when I first started working for an auto parts store by the name of National Auto. When I was working there, I oftentimes had the experience of customers approaching me and asking me questions for which I didn't know the answer. And I felt rather awkward about that because I had been trained, but I still didn't know the answer. And I think that that's a fairly common experience for a lot of people, isn't it? You get one day of training, and then you're supposed to know it all, right? Well, the real learning, the real training happens, I think, on the job, where you have to go through the thick and thin of the workday experience. And in my case, in this auto parts store, people asking me questions about their cars, and I oftentimes didn't know the answer. My training was insufficient. And so that was frustrating for me, because I'd oftentimes have to say, I don't know the answer to, you know, why your tires aren't staying inflated, or I'm not sure what would be the right size bumper to replace with the one that, you know, was damaged that you've got, and so on and so forth. And so I went home to my dad, and I shared and explained my frustration to him. And I said, Dad, you know, I get all these questions all the time, every time I go into work. And what do I do? Because I don't know the answers, Dad. And he said to me, I don't know the answers to those questions either. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and find out. And that was a revelation to me, because I was almost too embarrassed, because I was supposedly the trained auto parts expert, right? That's what you would expect if you walk into an auto parts store. But so many of the answers, I just didn't know. And so it was a learning experience for me to own that I didn't know all of those answers to questions that were being asked of me. It was okay to go and find out. It's okay for us as believers to go and find out when we don't know the answers to questions that are asked of us. And so that's going to be part of our journey this morning. Because you see, the I don't know, while we can embrace that, it's not completely satisfactory for the customer, is it? You can't leave a customer with, I don't know. You must have a rejoinder, which is, I'm going to go find out for you. I don't know if I'm alone in that experience. How many of you have gone into a store and you ask a question and the salesperson says, I don't know, and they just leave you dangling there with this, I don't know. And inside of yourself, you're saying, would you please go and find out? And I think that's part of what my dad was trying to teach me. Go and find out. You may just learn something. If you don't know, go and find out. Why? Because so many of us, like myself, oftentimes we lack the knowledge, the confidence, or the ability to clearly communicate or to share our faith. Now, in one respect, I get this. I truly do. We often dump religion in with politics as those two taboo topics that nobody wants to talk about in polite company, right? Mm-hmm. And this is especially true today, where we feel it's inappropriate to try to influence or persuade other people with our deeply held convictions or beliefs. In the United States in particular, where freedom of religion is a tenet of our Constitution, no one wishes to be guilty of trampling upon the rights of another individual to believe or not to believe. We don't want to do that. But how, I ask, can a person make up their mind about believing in Christ unless someone is willing to share their faith with that person that is asking those questions of us, as Romans chapter 10 says? But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the messengers of those who bring good news. You've got beautiful feet, people. You're bringing the good news. How blessed are you? And so often we put our love for our Constitution which we all respect, yes, but which politically motivated humans wrote, we put our Constitution ahead of God's infallible word that the Holy Spirit penned. So while our Constitution speaks about government and the structure of our national public life, the Constitution has no way possible to speak to a person's heart. There is only one document that can do that, and it's God's Word, treasured, true, and eternal. If we resist or ignore the Constitution, guess what? We're going to get into trouble. We do so at our own peril and the peril of our national and civic life. But to resist or ignore the message of God's word is also to do so at the peril of our own spiritual life. And as our nation almost broke asunder during the Civil War because the Constitution was in dispute, so too does the soul tear and break itself apart when God's word is in dispute. If a document crafted by human men reminds us that there are profound consequences to our national life and our personal liberties when we fail to live up to what the Constitution asks of us, are there no less consequences when we fail to live up to what God's Word is asking of us? What I'm building a case for here is that you cannot separate your faith, my friends, from the Bible any more than you can separate your liberties from the Constitution. In our national life, we are completely unafraid and unapologetic to share both the vision of our nation and the content of our Constitution with other nations. We don't apologize for that. Why is Lady Liberty positioned looking out from New York Harbor facing the Atlantic Ocean? Why? Because of our collective vision as a nation. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Those words you can find in the base, the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. And people still, to this day, come from all over the world to either sail past the Statue of Liberty, as was the case for me, or nowadays, I suppose, not too many people sail into New York Harbor. They fly over Lady Liberty. Why? Our defining document, the Declaration of Independence, states we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, they don't need any explanation. They're self-evident. They're givens. They're truths. They are what they are. And we can all agree upon them as a nation. Truth, my friends, is still, even though it's going out of vogue, self-evident. Truth is still self-evident. Our striving, perhaps best summed up by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years ago this week, where he says, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. All of this, we unabashedly proclaim and we share these things with the world. But our faith, if we cannot be separated from God's word, neither also can our faith be separated from our need to share it, to proclaim the vision. Jesus says what in Matthew chapter 5? You are the light of the world. A town that is built upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light so shine before all people. If we risk no embarrassment in proclaiming political freedom to the whole world, as is emblemized in the Statue of Liberty, can there even be the slightest bit of hesitation or embarrassment in proclaiming the spiritual liberty that comes through Christ alone? I rather think not. Now, if anything, today's postmodern generation, they pride themselves on asking questions. And that's okay. How do we do this? Why do we do this? What will happen if? You get the idea. Questions can be helpful. They encourage exploration and new learning and the sharing of wisdom. And our eternally true document, the Bible, embraces questions. Listen to Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. About the time that Jesus became separated from his family when he was 12 years old, the scripture says this: after 3 days, they found him. They were pretty wired up about it, but they found him. They found him there in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, God's word says, listening to them, the teachers, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And how many times do the prophets and King David in the Psalms and the apostles ask God, why? Why? We hear that within Scripture many, many times. The Bible does not resist questions. It invites them. But the Bible also does something really amazing and very cool. It gives us answers, thank God. I wouldn't be standing here proclaiming God's Word unless it gave us some answers. Answers to hang on to. But even better than that, you know, it gives us right answers. Amen? It gives us right answers. I mean, you know, you can answer a question and you can still get the wrong answer, right? I mean, any educator will tell you wrong answers are opportunities. I mean, how many of you have ever taken a quiz and you've got wrong answers? They're all opportunities for us to learn what the right answer is. I mean, that's what education is all about. And so in the same way that I had to find answers for those customers who asked what kind of air filter does my, you know, 71 Chevy Camaro need, or how many millimeters should they gap their spark plug at in order for their engine to run properly, so too we must be a people who are smart about our faith, who ask questions so that we might have answers to share with others. We must be unashamed to share what those answers are. Jesus says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, and let me tell you, if it was adulterous and sinful generation back then, woohoo, guess what? It's even much more adulterous and sinful, in my opinion, today. The Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Mark chapter 8. But we are never ashamed of the one who has rescued us. We are never ashamed of the one who has found us, who helps us. If you had a friend who saved you when you were drowning and close to death, man, you'd go out and you'd tell everybody about that friend. Look what my friend did. Pulled me out of the water. I'm alive today because my friend stepped into the water and grabbed a hold of me and pulled me out. We'd never be ashamed to share that story of what that person did for us with other people. Never. And so the scripture declares in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. That's what our adult Christian education and discipleship opportunities are all about. Study to show yourself approved, eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God. A work person who has no cause to feel what? Ashamed. You see, shame only or guilt only lies when we know that we haven't done what we were supposed to do, right? Sweetheart, take out the trash. Oops, I forgot. Shame, guilt. It can be anything in life, but particularly when it comes to our faith. And so we study to show ourselves approved, that we might not be ashamed. And please accept the counsel of 1 Timothy 3:15, which says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason." Here we go, my friends. This is what it's all about. A reason for the hope that is within you. Get ready for that moment, because there are people that are coming into your life and they're going to want to know what gives you hope. Are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them it's the man that rescued you? Are you going to tell them it's the man who's never turned his back on you? Are you going to tell them it's the man who went after the lost sheep? You being just the one who went astray from the rest of the flock, and most others would write you off. You know, they'd open up the books and they'd say, "Oh, what's the big deal? One sheep lost out of 99. No big deal. We'll write that loss off." And Jesus says, "No. Everyone has worth. Everyone has value. Even the one is worth going after." So here's the upshot of my message. We can't help anyone unless we've got some answers. Amen? You've got some answers, my friends. Norman Cates shared the humorous story of a guy who prayed this prayer every morning. "Lord, if you want me to witness to someone today, please give me a sign to show me who it is that I can witness to." And one day he found himself on a bus when a big, burly man sat next to him on the seat in the bus. And the bus was nearly empty, but this guy decided he was going to sit right next to our praying friend. And the timid Christian anxiously waited for his stop so that he could get off the bus, you know? But before he could get that far, the big man next to him burst out into tears, and he began to weep. And then he cried with a loud voice, "I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I'm a lost sinner. I need the Lord. Won't someone show me how to be saved?" And he turned to the Christian that was in the seat next to him, and he pleaded. He said, "Can you show me, please, how to be saved?" And the believer immediately bowed his head, and he prayed, "Lord, is this the sign?" I mean, how loud do you want God to make it for you? How clear? How evidential? How irrefutable? We've all been in those circumstances, myself included, where you've walked away from someone and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and says, "They needed a word from you." We've all done that. God forgive us. God help us. And that's why we keep studying. That's why we keep encouraging one another. If anything is as true today as it was back then, it is that people want to have hope. Amen? The beginning of sharing your faith with another is simply telling them why you're a hope. Why are you a hopeful person? Can you answer that question? Why are and in some way, can you connect that back to your faith? Why you are a hopeful person? That's what folks are looking for. Or showing them how you are a hopeful person through your deeds, your actions, what you do, how you are hopeful. Jesus is the hope of Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, young and old, black and white, broken and whole, sick and well. He is our hope. As the song goes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Hope, you see, cannot be separated from the one who is our hope. The woman at the well found hope, didn't she? Because he found her. And then she shared her hope with others when she says, she returns into the village and she says, "Come and see a man that told me everything that I did in my life. Isn't this the Messiah? He's got to be the one. I wouldn't be opening my mouth and bothering to tell you unless I believed that he was the one. Come and see this guy." Can we share our hope with others? Of course we can. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me, Philip, come on." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote." The identification of Jesus rests upon Moses and the prophets. Is that not reason enough to look into God's word? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. Come and see. When you share your faith with others, that doesn't mean that that person's faith in God be like your faith. I'm not preaching that. In terms of they have to believe every little single thing that's in your box. Yes, they must believe in Christ crucified, raised from the dead, and our sins forgiven, yes. But they don't have to actually live out their... I mean, there's lots of different ways that Christians live out and express their faith in Christ Jesus. Come and see. Come and see. And when the Ethiopian asked Philip in Acts chapter 8, who Isaiah was referring to, Philip gave him not just answers, he gave him what? The right answers. He gave him the right answers. Right answers. Our faith compels us to be smart. Be smart. To proclaim God's word and to be a witness. That's all. What have you seen? What have you heard? What has that God done? That is what we are to share. It's what Philip did. It's what Apollos did. Jesus asks us to give this world not just answers, but the answer. Jesus asks us to show the world Him, to tell the world about Him through word and deed. So today, share your faith. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Share your faith. Don't hide your faith under a bushel. Let it shine. Put it on its stand so that all might see it and believe.